Oh, I hope this is not Ken Vandruff's Bible. He had to zip out the door. He's got to get someplace. Oh, I hope he didn't leave his Bible. Oh, is it yours? Oh, good. Well, I feel better about that. That makes me feel a little better. All right. Wow, those of you who were here, did we not have a wonderful day yesterday? What a tremendous blessing. People started coming in that I hadn't seen in years, and it was just like church happened out there. Nobody wanted to come in here. They were so, one person would come in and they'd go, and then another person, and just fellowship was just going on. It was hard to get everybody to come in because they were just so enjoying the fellowship, and it was precious, precious. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody that worked on that, for that yesterday. Lou Ann Klein, you are a saint. Oh my goodness. She put a lot of hours in there. Curtis put hours on that parking lot. You know what it's like to have a parking lot with no lines? It's called hysteria. Bedlam. Oh goodness, and we had so many helpful hands, the people that helped me go through 5,000 pictures. Oh my goodness, I can't thank everybody. Sherry sent out tons of invitations. Jeannie helped me endlessly in the office. Oh my goodness, thank you to everybody that helped. It was just worth every effort to make that happen. And we did. We just gave, she got a big ovation, yes. Yeah. One thing I am going to ask, especially for the gentlemen here today, we left you a lovely task. At the end yesterday, you know, when it's time to, we said 1 to 5, and at 5 o'clock, people were hanging out. People that we hadn't seen in ages, and I knew what was going to happen. If we started picking up tables and chairs, they were going to all get up and leave. And I said, leave it. This is too precious to interrupt. So we left it. Guess what's still out there? We could use some help after church today picking up tables and chairs. And if we had a bunch of guys, you know what? It'll take 10 minutes, 15 minutes max. So if you could help us right after service, we're going to go out. It might be a little rainy, but unless you're a witch, you won't melt. So the Wizard of Oz, you know. Sorry, I said that the other day. We were getting out of the car, and I said, well, we're not going to melt. None of us are witches, so. Oh, goodness. Okay. So, but I am so grateful, and our brother Dave Herr brought a wonderful word, and it's a word for our church. Velma Clark used to say, but God, and he said he often heard me pray, oh, God, and he said, The call now is to say, our God, our God. And in that room, if I can say it this way, there were some people that came that didn't necessarily like each other very well. And it was wonderful. The fellowship was wonderful. It was a blessing. God did it. God built bridges, mended relationships. It was a wonderful thing, and I'm grateful, and we got to give the devil a black eye. Pow! It was awesome. So thank you. One thing I have on my heart to pray about today, you know, people in our country, some of them are just going crazy, and somebody walks into an In-N-Out restaurant and starts shooting people. And as I read it yesterday, my heart just broke thinking of the workers that were there, innocent people who just went there on the grand opening to have something to eat, and somebody comes in and shoots them. So I want to pray for those families, that God would have mercy and reach them. And then for our country, that God would bring sanity back to our country and a righteous belief that God is God and we need to follow Him. Father, we pray, Lord, as I read that account on the news of that terrible shooting, Lord, we pray first for your mercy for the families that lost people at that time. God, in Jesus' name, help them. And I pray that the body of Christ would rally around them and bring them hope in Christ. Lord, Father, we pray for your mercy. Lord, we pray that for the days we live in our country where people have abandoned any sense of God or what is right and what is wrong, Father, we pray that you would bring our country back, Lord. In some days, I think we're on the brink of disaster, and yet there's always a remnant. There's always the hand of God working. So, Father, we pray that you would, as our brother Ken prayed today, that you would bring revival to our land, that you would cause people to awaken to righteousness once again. God, in Jesus' name, and we believe you. We believe you to do it. We know at your heart that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We thank you for your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Wow, I'm just still in awe of the day yesterday. I can hardly stop thinking about it. Such a blessed thing. You can bring my PowerPoint up, Adam, if you would. We've been talking about being imitators of God. It's a pretty tall order. That's pretty incredible. Excuse me. But there's one part of that scripture that I want to be sure that we get today. Be imitators of God, but how? As dearly loved children. Not as soldiers who obey orders, not as slaves that are beaten into submission, but as dearly loved children. That's what you are. Remind yourself of that. You are a dearly loved child of God. That's what you are, Judy. You are dearly loved by God. Can you let that sink in? Because sometimes we don't feel like dearly loved children. You know, when you do something you knew was wrong, you feel like a naughty child. You feel like you were bad. You are a dearly loved child of God. He loves you. And that makes us want to be like him, just like this, just like that kid in the picture. He wants to be like his dad because he knows his dad loves him. He feels safe, secure, trusting, and accepted. And when he feels those four things, then it's not hard for him to want to watch and do everything that his dad does because he thinks his dad is awesome. And that's how God wants for us. Nobody wants to imitate a tyrant. Thank God our salvation is by grace and not by works. Oh, thank God, some immeasurable standard that we can never quite live up to. We've been marching through the attributes of God, and I don't want to belabor all of them today. We've talked about God for being forgiving. God is love. God is holy. God is, last week we talked, is a God of justice, which sort of helps to temper some of our ideas of forgiving and loving and holy. Today I'd like to look at another of God's attributes, and it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. That's quite a statement right there. The Lord your God is God. They could put a period right there. He's God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant of loving devotion for 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. That's part of what yesterday was all about, celebrating that 75th, the faithfulness of God. He has been faithful. He keeps his covenant of loving devotion to 1,000 generations. And you know what he means by that. Forever. He doesn't mean it 1,000, it ends. It's forever. And that word faithful there is the word amen. It's spelled a little differently. Amen. It's where we get our word amen. Reliable, faithful, steadfast, permanent, trustworthy. When you say amen at the end of a prayer, you're saying, that's it. This is what we're hanging on to. So be it, Lord. Because God is faithful. Faithful. God's faithfulness is a central theme throughout the entire Bible. It is foundational to our understanding of Him and our relationship to Him. Everything hinges on that. Joshua 21:45. All that he did for Israel, not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Every single one. That didn't mean it was easy, but every single promise of God was fulfilled. And I would say the same thing to you. Every single promise to God, of God to you is going to be fulfilled. Because he's faithful. He is faithful. And he's going to do it. Remember God's promise to Abraham. Genesis 12:1. Then the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your kindred, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And in Hebrews 11:8, it says Abraham went out, he obeyed, even though he didn't know where he was going. He hadn't the faintest idea, but he went because he knew that God's word was sure. He knew that God was going to bring it to pass. Did he have to wait a long time for Isaac to come around? He didn't even have any children. And God kept telling him, you're going to be a great nation. And he didn't have any kids. And God come back and tell him again. He still didn't have any children. Again and again. He told him and he told him. And then it finally happened. Once God had waited good and long for it to be totally impossible. God waited until it was impossible. And then he did it. Oh, and then he reiterates his promise to Isaac in Genesis 26. Going to make you a great nation. He does it. Says it again to Jacob in Genesis 28. He renews the promise. Then we have Joseph, who saw God's faithfulness through all kinds of unfair. You ever feel like life is giving you lemons? Life gave Joseph lemons, man. He got sold into slavery by his brothers. He got accused falsely by Potiphar's wife. He gets thrown in jail. But God was faithful to him all through every one of those things and brought him out. But was it easy? It was not easy. He had to walk through prison. He had to walk through misunderstanding. He had to walk through complete betrayal by his brothers. The things that Joseph had to do, and yet he hung on to God, and God was faithful and revealed himself over and over. Oh. But it was faithful, but it was messy. It sure wasn't easy. And then we have the Israelites. And God faithfully led Israel out of Egypt, just as he said he would do. But it wasn't easy. And don't kid yourself and think that that trip through the wilderness was a walk in the park. Oh, man. The very first trip that they take out, they come and they walk through the desert. That was real fun. And they come to Marah. And they're tired, and they're thirsty, and they're like, oh, thank goodness there's water. And they take a big, and they couldn't drink it. They said, this water's bitter. What are we going to do? And then there was a problem. You see, God understood. He led them there. He put them under that pressure. Now, does God let us come under pressure in our life? Oh, yeah. And he put them in that situation. Now, everything would have been great. God understood the condition. He knew they were thirsty. He knew they needed a drink. Why couldn't they have said, God, help us. Lord, we need water. Help us. What are we going to do? But instead, they said, you haven't given us water. Why did we come? Why did you bring us out here to die? You see, instead of calling out to God, they began to rail against the faithfulness of God, that God was not faithful. And then they walked in the wilderness, and there's like, we got nothing to eat. They could have said, Lord, we need food, help us. But instead they said, we had all the food we ever wanted in Egypt. Yeah, you were slaves. You brought us out here to die and rail against Moses and rail against God again. And God in his mercy faithfully gives them manna, lets it come down. He sends them quail. Then they get to Rephidim and they travel 3 days. Now, in the desert. And you know what happens to your body when you go 3 days without water? You start to suffer severe dehydration. Your tongue starts to swell. You know, you begin to get dizzy. You can be nauseous. You're not thinking straight. They were in a spot, and they come to Rephidim, and there's no water. And Moses, you know, can you imagine being a parent there, and the kids are going, Dad, I'm thirsty, help us. And they're like, there's no, just desert, nothing. And they, instead of crying out to God, they railed against God. And what does God do? He makes water come out to them from a rock. Oh, of all things, he could have done any, however God could have created it, he brings water out of a rock and proves his faithfulness to them again. But was it easy? Now, you know, Israel gets a bad rap. God put them in tight spots on purpose. God will put you in tight spots, puts me in tight spots too. Are we going to cry out to him, or are we going to complain against him? He's faithful. He's going to bring it. He's going to help. You know, there they are at Marah, and God says, throw the tree into the water, and suddenly it was sweet, drinkable. But the Israelites were upset because it didn't happen the way they wanted. I think they were expecting to get on the Princess Cruise line, go down on the Caribbean Cruise line and stand on the deck and drink Mai Tais as they go to the Promised Land. And it didn't happen that way. God made them go through the wilderness. Oh, wouldn't it be great if you could just get on the cruise line? That would be great. But it doesn't happen like that. But God nevertheless kept his promise. Even though Israel was faithless and eventually was judged for their idolatry, God kept his promise. And you know what? Even in that, he kept his promise. He said, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you turn away from me, I will curse you. And they turned away from him, went after the idols of the land. They went after Baal and Ashtoreth and Chemosh and Molech and all the garbage that goes with it. You know, they weren't just bowing down to statues, folks. We won't talk about what that all was. And he said, if you do that, I'm going to curse you. Faithful God, he judged them. 70 years of captivity in Babylon. But he said, but I will bring you back again. And he did. God's work is restorative, redemptive. He always wants to bring it around. I'll bring you back again. And he did it. Then in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah and the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, they all testified to God's faithful promise. God raised up King Cyrus, who gave them favor and said, you can go back. I'll give you things to begin to rebuild. And Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. And Ezra, they helped to rebuild the temple. It wasn't what it used to be, but there was the temple. There was the wall again. God was beginning to reestablish his kingdom because he is faithful. And then all the while this is happening, the prophets speak again and again and again of the coming Messiah. Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And then the next day it happened. Well, no. No, it didn't happen right away. And they had to wait. And they had to walk through more stuff. See, God's timeline is not ours. But we have to get past the when and to the thing, it. God looks at time differently than we do. You know, I wish it could just happen. And so often it doesn't. But God still says, if he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I don't know when, but I know it is. Because he keeps his promises. And we had Jesus, John 6:32. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. Well, you know, the manna. But it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And there it is. Promise kept. Always. And the faithful God has promised us that Jesus is going to return. He is going to return. The angel said to the disciples, why are you looking up at the sky? This Jesus whom you've seen go away, he's going to come back in the same way. But wait. What, it hadn't happened. It's been 2,000 years, more than 2,000 years. 2 Peter 3:3, most importantly, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come scoffing, following their own evil desires. Where is the promise of his coming, they will ask. Ever since our fathers fell asleep, everything continues as it had from the beginning of creation. What? Nothing's happened. Nothing's going to happen. Oh yeah, it's going to happen. Remember, it's not when, it's that it is. It's not when. And Jesus, one day, is going to come back because God is a God of justice. And one day, the scripture says that God is patient. In that same passage below, in verse 5, it says, I think it's verse 5, it says that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. And that God is patient, not wanting any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he's waiting. He's waiting patiently. But one day, the clock's going to strike, and it will be the end, and judgment will come. Jesus will return, and the Christians saved, the Lamb's Book of Life, the unsaved will be judged. It's going to happen. The time is coming because God's promises are true. But are you glad that God is patient and is waiting? There are days where I'm like, oh, Jesus, if you came back today, that'd be great. But most of the time I'm like, no, God, don't come back yet. There's still people I'm praying for. There's still people I want to see come into the kingdom. There's still things I want to do for you. Probably I'm crazy to feel that way because I know heaven's going to be an amazing thing. But God's promises are true, though he's patiently waiting. Remember, in Revelation 19:11, Jesus' name, the rider on the white horse, faithful and true. That's his name. It's going to happen. And because he is faithful and true, and because God is an absolute promise keeper, we are to imitate him, and we are called to that faithfulness. We are called to be faithful servants. You know, the Old Testament call of faithfulness was a covenantal obligation. You know, they had to, had laws that required them to be faithful, which they didn't keep, standards that they weren't able to keep. But we're talking about the imitation of Christ, where the Holy Spirit works in us to help us to be faithful. But in our walk with Jesus, we too are called to be faithful because He is faithful. And as we're made in the image of Christ, we're called to be reliable, trustworthy promise keepers, both to God and to others. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable. And there's a landowner, a master, and he has three servants. And he decides to entrust them with stuff. He gives one of them five talents. Now, a talent is not like the ability to sing or dance. A talent was a measurement. It was like a bushel or a quart. One of them, he gave five talents of silver or gold, I don't remember. Another one got two, and another one got one. Now, I want to tell you, the amount, as far as I can tell from the account, didn't really matter. But he told them, go and do trade and occupy until I come back. And then he goes off on a long journey, and while he's gone, the guy with five talents goes out and invests it, earns five more. It doesn't say what he did, but he must have put it to work. The guy with two talents goes out and faithfully works with his. And in verse 21, he said, the master comes back and says the words that I want to hear from God one day when I stand before Him. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." Sister Velma Clark, that you've heard about, if you didn't know her, you missed out. She used to say, "All I want to hear from God when I get there is, well done, good and faithful servant." And we had a prophet here once that laid hands on her. And he didn't use those exact words, but he said, "In the sight of these people, God says, I commend you." Oh my goodness, what a delightful thing for Sister Velma. Boy, do you want to hear God speak those words to you one day? "Well done, good and faithful servant. What are you doing with what God's given you? What am I doing with what God's given me? Are you investing in the kingdom of God? Are you using it? Knowing that someday our works are going to be judged." We talked about that judgment. It's not the judgment of the believers. It's not for salvation. But our works are going to be tried. And boy, do I want to hear God say, "Well done," to me one day. Oh, I so want that. The last servant did nothing with what was entrusted to him. He said he was fearful and unfaithful. The master called him lazy and wicked. Wow. In Revelation 2:10, the church in Smyrna is called to be faithful. He said, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Wow, that's a call. Now that is not a general word to the body of Christ. He's not telling you, okay, you're all going to die for the name of Jesus. No, but they were called to that. They had severe testing, and even though it's not a general word to us, suffice to say that God doesn't promise that our faithfulness is going to be easy. There is going to be a cost. There's a price to be paid. It doesn't mean that our faithfulness is going to be easy. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation is overtaking you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So most of the time, people teach on this that it's temptation to sin. That word temptation means trial or difficult time. It literally means when you go through problems, God is going to be faithful and He is going to help you to get through it. He's not going to make you be tested beyond what you can bear. He will help you get through it, but it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Wow, I wish I could tell you it's going to be the Princess Cruise line. Boy, it sure isn't. But God is still faithful. It wasn't easy for the Israelites, but God made a way. And it may be difficult for us to persevere in our walk with Christ, but God will make a way always. Always, always, always. He can help you in your family problems. He can help you with your finances. He can help you in temptation to sin. He can help you in stress, difficulty. He can help you with health problems. He can help you with everything. It doesn't say, the scriptures say, when you walk through the waters, I will be with you, God says. When through the rivers, they won't overflow. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. It doesn't say you won't go through the water. It doesn't say you won't go through the fire. It says that he's going to be with you through it. I don't know what you got to walk through, but he'll be faithful to walk through it with you. He will be faithful to walk through it with you. God will always make a way. Now, here's where I struggle a little bit. What if some of the mess that I'm in is the mess that I made? You know, I get life's difficulties and whatever, but what if it's, you know, a mess of your own making? It's like, that just seems a little worse. It's like, oh, God. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. When you screw up, he's going to be faithful to you anyway. He's going to help you. He could. We sang today again and again and again. You rescued me out of the mess that I was in. Oh, and sometimes it's the mess that it was not our fault, and sometimes it's the mess that was our fault. God is merciful. He helps us. And it doesn't mean that it's going to always be easy. It doesn't mean that you won't have some consequences, but God can do it. So we're called to faithfulness in the good times, in the bad times. 1 Peter 4:2 says, don't be surprised by the fiery trials that are coming. Don't be surprised when you go through hard times. James 1:2 is even better. Count it all joy when you go through all kinds of trials. Oh boy, hallelujah, I have problems. yeah, count it all joy, I don't know. So I want to give you the key. I feel like this is a really important key to get. Good times, bad times. Oh, we just lost Sister Denise. Oh, it's your fault. Andy, the joke cracker. I have to not look at Andy during the sermon because he makes me laugh. The key here. I want to give you an important key. Good times, bad times, no matter where you're at, continue to do what you know is right. Continue to do the right thing, whether you're in a good season, whether you're in a bad season. Continue to do the things that you know that is right. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer with Him. Bless others. Forgive people. Continue to walk in the way that you know you need to walk. Don't flip out. I have had temptations and times to flip out. I had a couple times yesterday where I thought I was going to flip out a little bit. Continue to do what you know is right. Forge ahead. Persevere. Be faithful. Even when it hurts. Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in, and there's that famous word, due season, there's the when, I don't know, in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Don't give up. Be faithful. He's faithful. We don't know when. We don't know when, but we know it. And you can take that to the bank. God is always, always, always going to be faithful. And reaping will come. It just doesn't tell us when. It's going to happen. Jesus is going to come back. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. God is going to be faithful to you. I don't know how. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. How do I know? He promised. Know that the Lord God is God. And He is a faithful God. Right back to that first scripture we looked at. He is faithful. Father, help us, Lord, where we go through stuff like the Israelites and we're tempted to complain, Lord, or to go through difficulty less than the way You would have us. But teach us to cry out to God and not to give up. Help us to persevere. Help us in good times, in bad times, help us to persevere knowing that Your promise is perfect and that You will always keep Your word. Always. You will always provide. You will always help us. You will always bring redemption and blessing. We don't know when. We don't know how, but we know that You will. And Father, we know that Jesus is coming back. We don't know when, but He's going to come back and He's going to make the things right so we can trust that You are the God of justice and You're going to take care of it because You are faithful and true. Father, whatever we walk through, give us the grace to persevere and to walk in a manner worthy of the call of Christ. Help us to do what's right no matter what. No matter what. The circumstances. Just like those three Hebrew children, and they said, we won't bow to the idol. God can rescue us, but even if He doesn't, we won't bow. Give us grace, Father, to walk in that calling. We thank You for it, and we know that You're able, and that You don't give us more without giving us a means to escape it. We thank You that You are a faithful God. And we trust You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, don't you dare leave this house without prayer. Don't leave. Someone will be here to pray for you. We are a church that believes in healing and miracles and the moving of God. When's He going to do it? I don't know. But when we pray, and I tell people, I'm going to pray for you until God heals your body, or you get better, or you go to be with Jesus. I'm not going to stop. So God can do it. So if you have a need today, please feel free to come. Otherwise, God bless you. Please remember that we have lots of nice things out in the pavilion to pick up, and we could use all the guys that could help. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great week. Oh, I'm sorry. There's food and coffee out there too. There's fellowship stuff.
But men, you have to earn it.
Yeah. Denise says the men have to earn it. So so there's both. You can fellowship and you can help. Hey, serve and be served, right?
Right.
Serve and be served. Right. And if you I'm sorry. And if you need prayer, please come. Someone will be here to pray with you.
Monday evening at the men's Bible study.